Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy. It's on page 221 in our Pew Bibles. And we read Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 15. The setting for this particular reading is at the end of Moses' life and just before Israel enters into the Promised Land. Moses gathers the people one final time to address them, and these are a portion of the words that he spoke to them. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to Philemon. It is the shortest book, I believe, in the entire Bible. It has no chapters, just verses. And it is, unlike most of Paul's other letters, directed primarily to an individual and not to a congregation. It concerns a slave that Paul came in contact with, who had run away from his master. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church of God in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while. You might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my very own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1118 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 14, beginning at verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and in particular, these words from Jesus. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man
began to build and was not able to finish." This is our text. In my regular routine of life, I drive through the city of Marion rather frequently on 7th Avenue. I suppose almost everybody here has done that at least once or twice. And there's a lot of building going on in Marion right now, if you haven't noticed. It's always interesting to me to see a new building going up, and one of the things I always ponder is what's going to go in it. But there's a piece of construction that has puzzled me as I drive through Marion, and it's very close to downtown. Several years back, there was this building. I think it was an old gas station or something. I can't even remember now. It was so long ago. But they tore it down and they poured a nice cement foundation. Steel girders were put in place. And I began to think, I wonder what this is going to be. That was several years ago. And I still wonder what this is going to be because nothing has happened for the last couple of years. How many know the place that I'm talking about? Yeah, pretty much all of you. If any of you do know, come up to me after the service and tell me what it was supposed to be at least. But I got a sneaking suspicion that Jesus' warning in our gospel lesson for today was not heeded by someone. For somebody began to build but was not able to finish it. Perhaps because they didn't count the cost. God wants us to count the cost. Because it's something that He Himself does. Now maybe at first blush it seems like that's kind of weird for God who created the universe to even worry about what something might cost. Until you ponder what it cost God to accomplish our redemption. And that cost doesn't show up at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That cost begins when He takes on our human flesh. Consider for a moment what it would be like for you to take on somebody else's flesh. And not someone like yourself, someone much less than yourself. I know there's a lot of dog lovers and cat lovers out there in the world. Imagine if your favorite and beloved pet was going to die, and the only way that you could save it was to take on its flesh and live forever with it. Now, I suppose there's enough crazy people in the world that you could probably find one or two that might consider doing that. But I think if you took a poll of the most ardent dog and cat lovers in the world, 99.9999998% would probably say, that is something I wouldn't do. That's too big a cost to keep that dog or that cat alive. God fills the universe. And He made the universe. I can't even begin to comprehend what it is like to be God. But when God saw that our redemption required Him to pay the price for our sin, and that meant becoming like us, when He counted that cost, He knew it was high. And yet for our sakes, He does take on our human flesh into His own person. And when someday we meet Jesus Christ in heaven, there He will be with that same flesh, wearing it for all eternity, that He might accomplish our redemption. But that's only the beginning of the cost our Lord had to pay. Ultimately, He goes to the cross. all the most horrible things that we can suffer in life, and which, by the grace of God, many of us will be spared. The worst that humanity can, if you will, dish out to human flesh. Our Lord and our Savior endures. Go to the Garden of Gethsemane. See him praying so hard that if it's possible, that this cup might be taken from him. See him sweating so hard that blood is mixed in with the sweat. Never doubt for a moment that our Lord measured the cost and knew what it would take in order for us to be redeemed. And yet, because of his great love, that cost for him is not too high. He willingly bears it. All so that, in terms of our redemption, he might make the cost to us free. In order to have all that God purchased for us, in taking on our flesh and going to the cross and then rising again, all God asks is that we in gratitude receive that gift and put our faith in it, believing that through Jesus our sins are forgiven. There is no cost that God requires from you and I. So why then in our text does Jesus say that if we are to be his disciple, we have to count the cost? Well, although our redemption is free in terms of our relationship to God, there is a cost to be paid to the world, which despises God and will do everything in its power to make sure we don't want that gift, to make sure that we ignore it, that we pay no attention. And instead of putting our faith and trust in God, we turn from him and follow other gods and other ways. And at least over the course of my lifetime, that cost that the world demands is going up. When I was growing up, on Wednesday evenings, the entire community had a name for that night when I would go to confirmation. And all my friends, or at least most of them, would go to some other religious gathering, whether they're Presbyterians or Baptists or Catholics. I'll bet most of you know the name of Wednesday night. Wednesday night in the community was? It was, but it ain't no more. Even as children as young as fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, are having activities on Wednesday evenings. And if you will, there's a cost to be paid today that most of us growing up didn't have to pay. You want to be a part of this team, this activity? Well, you got to give up church. There's costs to be paid to be a disciple. Costs to be paid sometimes in the workplace. People in healthcare who object to abortion in some places are being required to give advice about it, encourage it, and there's been attempts to require doctors who don't believe in the practice to perform it. There's costs to be paid. There's costs in dollars and cents. You know, another change from years ago when I went to vacation Bible school. It was 2 weeks long. And it was in the morning. There were a lot more volunteers, day and night, available to work in the church. Most of them were women. But now, today, with the cost of living as it is, most women have jobs during their working years. The amount of volunteer hours available to the church has been dramatically decreased. And what many churches are struggling with is it takes sometimes more paid staff in order to operate a church in the same way that you used to operate it, because you just don't have those volunteer hours anymore. There's costs to be paid. There's costs our children pay when they're going to school and all these gender issues that are alive in our world today come up. And if they state their beliefs, they're mocked, criticized. Go to a science class and mention that you believe in creation. See what happens in a public school. There are costs to be paid to be a Christian. And in other places around the world, the costs are even higher. There are many countries today where if you're caught sharing your faith, trying to encourage someone else to become a Christian, you can be put to death. Those countries are not rare in our world. Violence against Christian communities is alive and well. There are costs to be paid. Yes, our salvation is free in terms of our relationship to God. He is the one who paid the cost. But to be a disciple of Jesus, to openly share your faith at school, at work, to take the time to attend Wednesday evening activities, and sometimes even Sunday morning activities. When I was growing up, whoever heard of a tournament on Sunday morning? Didn't happen. But it happens today. And if you don't participate, well, in terms of your life at school, your life in sports, yeah, it can cost you. Our salvation is free in relationship to our God. But to live out faithfully the Christian life in an increasingly un-Christian culture, there are many costs to be paid. And that's what Jesus was telling us. And the truth is, if you're not willing to pay those costs, then you can't be a disciple of Jesus. You can't be regularly in the Word, which has to be done in order to keep your faith strong. You have to openly share your faith, because that is how the church survives in the world, by us telling others the good news about Jesus Christ. There are things the world will force you to give up. And if you will, in order to keep churches working, there are sacrifices financially and of time and talent that we need to make in order for the church to do its work. We have to measure those costs if we are to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news about all those costs that we might have to pay. It's worth it. As Moses was telling the people of Israel, as they were preparing to enter the promised land, it's about life and death. Not just life here, but an eternal life with God in heaven, in a place where there is everlasting peace and joy and love, where sin and death are no more. That's what God has given to you and to me, free without charge. And that is what the world is trying to take away from us. That is what the world is trying to make you pay for. And sometimes with your own blood. God grant that we understand those costs, but also understand what those costs are purchasing for us. A blessed life given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, paid for with his blood on the cross, paid for because he was willing to take on our human flesh and paid those costs. In gratitude for what he paid, and in recognition of what he purchased, may God grant that whatever the cost the world demands from us, we will be willing to pay. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.